To a great extent, you and God's grace and my family and my upbringing there has made me who I am and what I am, and I will always be eternally grateful for that. So if you have your copy of the scripture, turn with me to Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter number 1. And I want to take up reading tonight with verse 7 through 17, and then simply observe with you three things out of this text that Paul calls to our attention in particular. Romans 1, beginning with verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The book of Romans is perhaps the greatest doctrinal treatise that the Apostle Paul ever wrote for all of Christendom to learn from, to profit from. It's a tremendous book. Every Christian needs to be familiar with its content. Every church needs to visit it frequently, because every major doctrine and issue that we are faced with is covered somewhere in the chapters of this great book. Now, what I've read to you tonight is somewhat part of the introduction of Paul the Apostle to the Christians, the believers in Rome. And what I want to share with you tonight is the three I.M.s of Paul that are rather, I think, distinctive and stand out rather obviously as I read the text. Paul said, I am a debtor. He said, I am ready. He said, I am not ashamed. Now, I want to elaborate just briefly tonight on each one of those. First of all, Paul said, I'm a debtor. Now, he tells us here in that particular part in verse 14, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, the wise, as well as the unwise. This afternoon, in the brief time that I had to try to prepare and think and put some thoughts together, I pulled off of my mother's bookshelf all of the different translations of this text. I found it interesting that as I did so and read this verse 14, part of the translations put it, I am under obligation. Another said, I owe. Someone else translates it, I have a discharge. And someone else says, I have a duty. That's all wrapped up in this word, debtor. I've got a duty. I've got a discharge to perform. I owe it. I am under obligation to do it. And Paul says, I'm a debtor. Now, I think whenever he says, I'm a debtor to the Greeks or the barbarians, the wise and the unwise, that if you would do a further study on those four terms and groups, you'll find that Paul's pretty well describing everybody in every way. I'm a debtor to them all. As I sat this afternoon and thought about I'm a debtor, my mind went back to those years that I lived and grew up in this community, in this church. And I thought, Jerry, you better be careful because there's no way that you can name them all. And if you start naming some of them, you'll leave somebody out that you ought to have referred to. But you know, those of you that are my age or older or a little younger will know that we are debtors. First of all, I want to say that I'm a debtor to my family. Those of you that have lived in Chinkapin for a number of years, you know my mom, and you knew my dad. You know my brothers, you know my sister. You knew my grandparents, both on the Smith side and the Lowry side. I am a debtor. I had nothing to do with choosing the family into which I would be born. But by God's mercy and grace, he granted me the honor and the privilege of being born into that family. With all of those grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, God blessed us so richly, so wonderfully, that there's no way that I can ever get beyond that debt that I owe. First of all, to my Lord for permitting me to be born into that family, into that setting. But you know, not only my family, I have to put real close there Chinkapin Grove Baptist Church. Many of you will remember that all of those that were older were our aunts and our uncles, though they were no blood kin at all. We were family. And how I am indebted to God and to the church. And I even included the community, because even some folks in the community that might not have been connected directly with this church, they all had a love and devotion and commitment to this family, to this community, and to those of us that grew up here. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to my family. I'm a debtor to this church. And I really was tempted to name some names. As in every generation, there are those who just surface to the top as leaders in the church. And if I were to begin to name tonight, many of you would shake your heads yes, and you'd say, I remember them well. And we were so blessed as a church to have those men and women. Some were deacons. Others were Sunday school teachers. Some of them led in BYPU in those days so long ago. And some of them had a love and devotion to us young people. And even back when we were children, some of the teachers that I had in Sunday school, I am a debtor. Now, some of you younger folks tonight didn't grow up in that generation, and you don't remember them. And I really wish that you could have known them. But I hope that you will look around you and survey the scene and look for those who are those spiritual leaders and mentors tonight in the church, in your life, that God's placed there to make a difference. And don't ever forget, you are a debtor to family, to church, to community. But some of you that are here tonight, I could call your names, but I won't. I won't date you. I've already dated myself. I'm 73. But some of us remember when, being a student at Chinkapin Grove School, we were blessed to have the women. And I believe Worley's the only man that I kind of remember as a teacher in Chinkapin Grove School. But we were blessed to have those people who taught us in those days in our education. I think of high school. I look out and there's some of you here that were in school the same time I was. We were blessed at Bluff City High to have some good, godly men and women who loved the Lord, loved the church, and loved what God had gifted and called them to do. And they impacted my life. They made a difference. And I'm indebted to them. After I graduated from high school at Bluff City, God opened the doors miraculously for me to move to the state of Kentucky and attend Cumberland College in those days, now the University of the Cumberlands. And as a part of the faculty and staff, our people, God brought into my life that made a difference. Most of them are now dead and with the Lord, but I am indebted to them. Then after I finished the 2 years there, it was a junior college, went on to Carson Newman. The experience was the same. Men and women that I could name as professors and teachers that impacted and made a difference in my life and served as mentors and made a difference. And I'm indebted. And could I say to you tonight, in passing, I am indebted to our Baptist denomination, because a portion of my education at Cumberland College and Carson Newman College and later at Southwestern Seminary was paid for by you back at home in the churches as you gave through the cooperative program and to the mission programs of our denomination. Do you understand tonight where I'm coming from? I'm a debtor. Where would I be? What would I have become had it not been for all of these different people, institutions, and so forth that God brought across my life? Like Paul tonight, I have to say I am a debtor. And I'd be amiss tonight if I did not refer to another group, and that is the pastors. I was saved under the ministry of Clyde Billingsley when he was pastor here at Chinkapin. Haven Lowe. Fred Potter. And others that made a difference in my life. I have a love for pastors. I've been one for 55 years, but I still have a love for pastors. And I'll do anything and everything that I can to encourage them. In the church that I was privileged to serve for 25 years, almost on the campus of the University of the Cumberland, many, many ministerial students came and were part of our church family. And God gave me that open door to where my heart was one with their heart, to encourage them. And I still do that through a weekly email that I send to all of the pastors that I have on that list, which is more than 100, every week to write a word of encouragement as they stand to preach and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church has been blessed with good men, godly men, across its history. And I, tonight, am a debtor for all of this. I look out across the congregation tonight. There's many of you here whom I grew up with, but many of your parents impacted, made a difference. And I want to thank you tonight for all of the contribution that you've made in my 55 years of ministry and service to the Lord. And just pray with me and pray for me that I will continue to keep up the good fight and to hold high the banner and preach the glorious gospel until Jesus says it's enough, it's time to come home, or he comes in the second coming. I'm a debtor. But you know, I've said all of that, and you'd say, Brother Lowry, now you're really going to be amiss if you don't go one step further. That is, I am a debtor to God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think you assumed that I knew that and that I was thinking about that as I talked about all this other. Because had it not been for God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have been in that family. I wouldn't have been a part of that family. I wouldn't have been a part of this church. The church maybe would not even have been here. And those teachers that I had in school would not have sensed and felt that call that God gave to them to be teachers and educators. I'm a debtor to God. I'm a debtor to Jesus. I'm a debtor to the precious Holy Spirit. Because again tonight, all of the other things combined and put together is all because of him and what he's done in me, for me, and through you. So first of all, Paul says, I'm a debtor. But then notice secondly, as you come down into the next verse, he says, not only am I a debtor, but he says, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And part of the translations that I looked at this afternoon, some of them translated that word ready as being eager. Somebody else translated, I'm willing. And I think Paul was eager. I think he was willing. I think he was ready. After the Damascus Road experience, wherever you see Paul, wherever you hear Paul, whatever you read of Paul, Paul is ready. He never quit. He never gave up. In spite of all that he went through and endured, the persecution, the suffering, the rejection, all of those things, he was still ready. And he knew going to Rome was not going to be a pleasant experience. Prison awaited him, but he said, I'm ready. I want to share with you. I want to have a part with you, and I want you to have a part with me, and together we will do the will of God. I am ready. I'm willing. I'm eager. And could I say to you tonight, may there never, ever come a time in your life where that you lose that willingness and that eagerness and that readiness to share the gospel. Most places I go these days, folks say, well, I thought you was retired. There's no place in the life of a child of God to retire from what we are doing in our service to our Lord. Now, you may retire from going to the office and doing some of those busy kinds of things that we do on a regular basis. But as far as loving the Lord, serving the Lord, preaching, teaching, helping others in the name of Jesus, always be eager, ready, and willing to do it. And I've been so blessed in these soon be 10 years of retirement to have the opportunity and the privilege to do that. God's granted me the honor and the privilege of having some of the greatest days of my life in ministry in these days so-called of retirement. September the 5th, I finished my sixth interim in our sister Baptist churches. And oh, it's been a good experience. Could I just lay a burden upon your heart and ask for your prayers tonight? I've agreed for the month of December to work with a church just on the outskirts of Corbin, Kentucky, Lynn Camp Baptist Church, right on Highway 25 as you go into Corbin. A church just a year or two ago that ran 140. Last Sunday I preached and we had 17 in Sunday school, 25 in worship. I've agreed to work with them during the month of December. After the first of year, I will discuss with them about becoming their interim. I know, God knows, and I hope they know they need somebody. They need somebody to just come alongside and just be there and love them and just preach Jesus. Because they are hurting and they're torn. They're frustrated. They're depressed. They're discouraged. In my estimation, they're as low as they can go. And God has given me a heart for such situations. And if it's God's will, I want to go and come alongside them and help to lift them up. Remember, it's the Lord's church there. The one for which he died and gave his blood. And it's precious to him. And I want to help those dear people. So you pray with me and pray for me and pray for them. That we'll be able to see that church come back together and become healthy and to where that they can hear the cry of newborn babes as folks get saved and added to the church. Because that's what we're in existence for. But I'm ready. I'm still ready. I'm still willing. I'm still eager to do that. Just pray that God will help my health to hold and my will to stay strong and that I'll just be able to keep on keeping on until, folks, it's all over. I want to keep on doing that till it's all over. And then there's one last and final thing in the three I ams. First, I'm a debtor. Secondly, I am ready. But thirdly, he said, I'm not ashamed. Now, every one of those translations that I read used the same word, ashamed. Couldn't come up with another word to add to it at all. But I'm not ashamed. And I hope tonight that there's not a child of God of here that's ashamed tonight of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are ashamed, let me tell you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because you and I are who we are and what we are because of that glorious gospel that has saved us and changed us and transformed us and made us part of the family of God and citizens of the kingdom of God and heirs of heaven. Join ours with Jesus Christ. So we ought not to be ashamed. We've got nothing to be ashamed of. I want to tell you, we've got the best that there is going. And we ought to glory and honor in our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who made it all possible. So it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And here's why he said, I'm not ashamed. It is the power of God unto salvation. That word power comes from the same word that we get dynamite. And some of you know, as I know, it took the dynamite of God to get us out of where we were. Amen. And to change and transform us. But thank God for the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Don't you like this? To everyone that believeth. Tell folks wherever I go about Chinkapin. They've never heard of Chinkapin. But I will tell you, Chinkapin's the garden of the earth. This is paradise of God right out here. They just haven't heard about it, don't know about it. But I want you to know that here, oh, how honored and privileged that I was that the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with me. I'm not sure how old I was. I just remember that it went on for a period of time before I actually went forward over in the other building and knelt there at that altar and gave my heart and life to Jesus. But he was faithful, he was patient, he was long-suffering, but he was drawing me all of the time. And it was the power of God to salvation to this country boy. This old country boy here in Chinkapin, for whom he died and loved and was willing to save. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I like this, to the Jew first and to the Greek. That includes all of us. If you want to lump them all together, includes all of us. We hear a lot these days about predestination and reformation. But I want to tell you, I may not understand all of that, but I do understand that whosoever will may come. And that included this old boy. And I believed and I received and I was accepted by him. And then the last verse that I read, for therein, now catch this, for therein were, in the gospel. For therein, in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The one who believes, the one who expresses faith, is made just because of the gospel. Oh, hear me, church, tonight, beloved people of God. Don't ever forget that we are all debtors. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, let's always be ready. And not only be ready, but as we go in our willingness, fulfilling our duty, our obligation, and our privilege, let's not be ashamed. Gladly share the name of Jesus. Gladly share the gospel of the Son of God. You may not know all of the technological terms and titles and all of those kinds of things, the ins and the outs of the plan of salvation, but if you know Jesus, you know everything you need to share with those that don't know him. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. That's the greatest need of our day and age, for those of us who know him, to share him. May we pray. Oh, blessed Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight you'll use these few words, and I pray that you'll stir our hearts and our spirits with them. And oh God, help us to remember where we came from, who we're indebted to. And Father, may we always be ready to give an answer to those that ask of us. And may we never, ever be ashamed or embarrassed of our blessed Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray, and amen. If you'll take your hymn book and turn with us to number 309, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing two stanzas. And as we sing two stanzas, if God's spoken to your heart and you need to respond and come, I'll be here to assist you in any way if you'll come.